Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at the at 3:30 this afternoon, and he will be leading the search in the Scriptures to find the answer to the question, who is the man of sin sitting in the holy place? From 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the inserts in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World. Continue our worship now with hymn number 291, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Now, as we sing hymn number 394, I Surrender All.
For prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And Father, we rejoice as believers because we have a High Priest that is permanent, is there forever. We have a High Priest that has been accepted. We have a High Priest who is tender and sensitive to our needs. And we are grateful, O Heavenly Father. We're also grateful that once a week you have set apart a day where we gather together to praise your name and then to open the Word of the Living God and learn from thy Word the message that you have for us. For some of us is to shape up our life in such a way that the Christian spirit may shine. For others is to discover what you have to say about our personal life, our destiny, our future. Lord, whatever is the need, we pray that you speak to our life. And as a church body, we do have the responsibility to go out and proclaim the gospel. And so, Father, we have a large radio ministry and a large internet ministry, CD ministry, tape ministry, and a large amount of missionaries. We pray for them, for Fred and Carol Lewis, at their ministry in Los Angeles, to missionaries to be. They teach after 25 years of mission. They teach them what to expect in the mission field and how to behave and be a great real witness in foreign countries. To Carol and Ruth Knott, Carol has the gift of writing. Amazing enough, about 30 years ago, he was in our school to learn Spanish, and he writes now in Spanish books in Spain. So bless him, oh God, as he do this work. Eusebio and Marisa Perez, as they're in Malaga, in a tourist area, teaching the gospel to English and Spanish people. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, a great supply to missionaries, a great man who soon we will see him here in our church as he comes for the report. Giovanni and Barbara Dendano, as they went back to Guatemala and there they're building a church. Martha Foretti, now with heavy bronchitis, Lord, heal her because the drug addicts in the rehabilitation center, they need her presence and her challenge. Dante and Maruja Rabinis. Dr. Dante goes in the Amazon River, pulling teeth and sharing the gospel with people. Joe and Diane Avila, they prepare themselves to be a great help to the churches in Costa Rica. The Salvale Pregnancy Care Center here in the city of Gilroy. These are a light in the midst of the storm for people who have needs. The Christian Athletic Association, a challenge to young people to see what Christ really is. And then Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Danny today is in the Long Beach area and they are champion of sports, ministering already for 3 days over there and closing today. And we pray for blessings upon him. As a church body also, Father, we have personal need. And we pray for Chris Floyd, who was extremely sick, for Ann Pareto, for a lady by the name Janet. Father, I received an email on the internet by my daughter. Janet is the daughter of Marianne, the lady who prepared the material for the ladies' Bible study, and we pray for her sickness. For Desiree, Laura's Vitola's daughter, who has a tremendous sickness and do not have the income to pay for the medicine. Father, we pray that in some way, somehow, the supply will come. We pray for our great lady, Mrs. Forrest, for Loretta Forrest. We pray for Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica who listen to our services. And we know that Jerry needs to be careful with his body and his cancer. And we are thankful that he's under control and we pray that we'll keep him that way. Lord, maybe there are other people with emotional needs and maybe with a social need, maybe with a personal need. And we pray that this amazing God of love will touch their life and give guidance in their need. And Father, as we minister in the church and as we move on in the church, we have our needs for our supply and we are thankful that your people love you. And because they love you, they supply for our needs. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
glorious, we worship you. Savior, Sustainer, Redeemer, and Friend, we confidently call you our praises begin. Christ is risen, and death is defeated. Risen, and work is completed.
Time for an evangelism update. Let's go to the book of Timothy. That's in page 1297. Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. Page 1297, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it says this: Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I have a really interesting thing to tell you guys today. When you got saved, that wasn't the end of salvation in your life. You are going to help other people to know God as well. You were not the end plan. When God saved me, He had David in mind. When David got saved, God has other people in mind. Every single person here who's saved, you have someone to reach. You have someone who you need to teach. You have someone who you need to help bring up, so that they can do the exact same thing. Now, it's terribly hard to do this. It's impossible to do it if you don't have God. So I want to teach a little bit about that. Let's go to John chapter 15, which is on page 1170. John chapter 15. Now, when I got saved, I had no idea what was going to happen as far as like my Christian life. All I knew was that I knew Jesus Christ, and I was cleansed, and I was, you know, going to be, you know, in heaven. That's all I knew. I got all those benefits. I had no idea what kind of gifts God was going to give me. But this is what I did. I abided in God. I continued with God. Now, let's go to verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So where does the fruit of evangelism come from? It sure doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from, you know, our own intellect. It comes from abiding in God. It's a fruit. It is totally not of you. And it's an incredible gift that cannot, you can't study books to try and do it. It's something that God gives you. It's sharing love. It's teaching other people what you have learned by faith. So, my encouragement for all you guys is we have a ton of Bibles right now. Right now we have 48 Bibles in two boxes. Now, there's well over 48 people here. And you are not the end plan of salvation. There are people who God wants you to reach. And if you abide in Him, you will reach those people. And if we don't abide in Him, He's going to give it to somebody else. Because He's going to save who He's going to save. But please don't miss out on the blessing of getting to reach another person with the gospel. You know, the Bible even says in the same chapter that if a man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I hate to go fire and brimstone on you guys, but I'm not saying if you don't evangelize, you're going to go to hell. But I am saying that if you don't abide in Him and let these fruits come forth and then start to be a co-laborer with God and really, you know, allow God to work with you, that gift is just going to wither. It's just going to fade, you know, until God gives you the fruit again. So right now, we got a first fruit right now. We have got 1,000 Bibles. God is looking at all of you guys, and there's well more than 48 of you people here. So I am believing that 48 Bibles will be gone today. Before you leave, I don't even want it to just be like, oh, I walked out the door, hey, there's a Bible. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and take one, you know. No, I want you to seek after those things. I want you to take 3 if you want. Take whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But take it and be a faithful person. And, you know, just put it in your car or carry it with you when you go out to lunch today. But do something. Because God has His eye on you. He has His eye on this blessing of 1,000 Bibles. So let's do something. Amen? Amen? Amen. What? All right, let's do it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for that update and those good words. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Apostle Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1258. We will be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, only because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ as the only acceptable and perfect sacrifice to die a sacrificial death for sin for those who believe and repent. We thank you for this amazing transfer of our sins to Jesus and the transfer of his righteousness to our account. We pray for boldness, Father, that we may articulate to others this great gospel, to the end that many will believe and come to know the beauty of the person and work of Christ, and that your name might be glorified in all the earth. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to speak and reveal the great truths in the Scriptures. Bless us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may gain greater understanding of your great work and love. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you. I use this one, okay? You do well if you move your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me tell you, as the way of background, during the month, every month I have a topic in mind that I divide it properly so that you get feed the right portion. And April is the topic, the central focus is It Is All About Jesus. And on the first Sunday, I talked to you about that word, Hosanna. Remember that Hebrew word that means save us now, I pray. So we talk about the wonders of Jesus walking into Jerusalem and the people claiming salvation. Last Sunday, we talked about the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus in the Scripture is a great joy for us because that implies that he was accepted of the Father, he was received in the presence of God, and as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he's sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. We have not only a Savior, we have a High Priest for all of those who believe. Now today I want to call your attention to the book of Corinthians. And I want to imply again as a subtopic that there is a great responsibility in each one of us because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. If you are a Christian, there is a great responsibility placed upon us. Put one hand in 2 Corinthians 5 and move your Bible to 1 Corinthians 3:9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, that's the previous book. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul called the believers co-laborers with Christ. Let me read it for you. 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 9. For we are, now notice the plural personal pronoun. We are, said the Scripture, laborers. That's an old English word for the new word, co-laborers. We are, or labor together, co-laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. And so in 1 Corinthians, Paul said to the believers in Christ, we are co-laborers with God. Now in 2 Corinthians, the Scripture that have been read this morning, if you go back there and put your eyes on chapter 5 and in verse 20, you notice that Paul says something else, and this is the point that I want to talk to you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20, now then we are, it's not that we're going to be or could be the possibility, it is in a statement of fact, we are, says the Scripture, ambassadors for who? For Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Many times we read these great exhortations of the Word of God and we neglect to understand the responsibility that each exhortation implies to you and to me as part of the Church of the Living God. When I was 13 years old, I had 2 years of high school. And they came, President Perón was in Argentina, great dictator. And they were looking for young people who have a good-looking stature and they have ability to learn practically, so to school them in the school of internal affairs of the country for being an ambassador. And I remember I was elected. And I graduated high school with the science and with the social enough material to become an ambassador. And an ambassador is always something political, and my family was praying that I would be no leaving the university. At 16 years old, I started university, and my father was not happy that I will take that shape to be educated for international affairs, something that Jacqueline took over and wants to do. I want to tell you something. I learned a lot of things about being an ambassador just in the high school preparations. It is a great representation and a great responsibility placed upon you. If there are important responsibilities upon one man who flies from his country to another country, and the entire country of the United States is upon the shoulders of that man representing the country in another place. His walk, where he eats. I remember President Perón come to the classes and said, wherever you go to play, wherever you're going to eat, whatever, how the way you dress, you are representing your country. And that's how I get the idea, always with my suit and so on. All right? Well, I said, I have to do the whole high school with suits and ties and white shirts and all this just to be trained to be representing a country. Now, we're not talking about America or Argentina or Italy. We're talking about Christ and His kingdom. And I'm going to share with you important responsibilities that entail to be an ambassador by taking some of the concepts that I was taught when I was trained for preparation to international affairs. I'm going to take those concepts and apply to our spiritual life so that this sermon will enhance you as you walk in life as an ambassador for Christ. Now remember verse 20. The Bible doesn't say it is an option to be an ambassador. You maybe choose to be an ambassador. It is an option to be a pastor. No, all of us are pastors. Only those who are called by God into their heart to be a pastor, to be a bishop, and then you have all the qualifications and all the details that God entitled in the Bible for a pastor. But here, this is an option. This is for all of us. Whether you are 3 years old or you are 99 years old, it's for all of us. This is the great responsibility. All right? Number one, and first, is a great representation is implied. Look again in the scripture. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, not for America. You cannot say, well, I'm an American and I do things the American way. Hold it. Is the American way Christ's way? That's what you have to check. All right? In America, we do what we want to. Is that correct? As an ambassador for Christ, do you do what you want to in this regard of the laws and exhortations of God? You have to check, really. See? You have a great representation in your hands. Now, let me give you some hints for you. As a believer, we speak about Christ. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 8, verse 35, page 1191. Book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 35, page 1191. Now, I just give you a briefing on this passage. Here's a deacon of a church by the name Philip. And he was in a crossroad highway. Like here in Gilroy, you have a highway 10, the crossroad over there. Okay, he was right there. And he sees a beautiful Cadillac coming in, very slow. And a man reading in the back. And he's jogging. Philip is one of those fanatic guys who's jogging. He's jogging beside the Cadillac. And see the man reading. And he asked the man, do you understand? It must be very slow that he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? And the man opened the door and Philip sat with him. And a dialogue came in. And look at now, you got Philip, the deacon of the church of Jerusalem, and you got this Ethiopian, which I learned one time, I called an Ethiopian, you're a black person. He said, no, I'm not a black person, I'm a Caucasian. They're correct, they're Caucasian, but their color is black anyway. All right? And here is this person sitting there. He's a dignitary from Saudi Arabia. He is a secretary treasurer of the country. He's educated. He learned Hebrew. He's reading in Hebrew the scroll. And now, what would Philip say? Imagine if somebody asks you in the coffee shop, are you a Christian? What would you say? One time I was in an embassy. As trainee to be an ambassador, we had to be in many embassies. And we was in an embassy, and somebody stepped ahead of me. So I tapped his shoulder. I said, you know, I was first. He said, I have a letter. I said, from the Pope. And I should be first. And I said, who is the Pope? You know, and boy, the guy got mad. He got first anyway. But I tell you, who we represent, when we're going to speak about God, who we represent. Look at what Philip did. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, the King James said, preach unto him Jesus. Actually, the word preach is kerusanton, is not there, but I wrote in my Bible what word the God for God. He explained to him. He explained to him Jesus. Now, Philip was a deacon from the church of Jerusalem. He don't pull out the bylaws of the church and say, now this is what we believe, and these are my confessions, and these are these. And no, the man said, I want to know what the book of Isaiah is about. And Jesus, and Philip said, it is about Jesus. All right? Look at the representation. I'll give you another one. As a pastor, I have to talk to you about one person. Look with me in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, page 1298. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 5. As you know, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are called in the church pastoral epistles. They are called in that way together with Titus, because what written for was written by the Apostle Peter to a man who became the pastor of Ephesus, Timothy. And look at in chapter 4, after he has been ordained, chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore. That's the day of his ordination. And you read that in the book of Acts 20 when Paul departs out of Ephesus. And look at in verse 5 what he says in his ordination. But watch thou in all things, in your affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. A pastor, even though he's not called an evangelist, he has to present to you Christ. And that's why every Sunday you come here, every time you ask me a question, I move you always to Christ. Because he wants to be honored. He needs to be understood, all right? This is the place. So, a great representation implies it is not about America, it is not about me, it is not about this church, it is not about this denomination or the other denomination. The representation is about Christ. So we got it? Now, the people outside need to know that my hope is in Christ. You know, when you're in classes, in order to understand social behavior, you can't help it. You become a politician, and Perón will come in, and all the big shots from the Congress will come in and teach in the class, so that you become a Peronista, somebody who is of his party, because the president is not going to, he said, I don't want to select an ambassador unless it's from my party. So now, where is our hope as believers? Take that thought into our mind. What is our hope place as believers? You are in Timothy. If you move your Bible to the left to 1 Thessalonians, page 1286. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 3, you will see who will really represent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering, said the Apostle Paul, without ceasing, your work of faith and your labor of love, and get this one, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. When a Christian is under the test of waiting and requires patience, now not only think this is what I need to do, but as you wait in the Lord, you are given a testimony as an ambassador that you really believe in Christ Jesus. Your hope in Him. In this church, who is your no sociology, this church has been suppressed. This church has been really almost exterminated by the government. They never lost their hope in Christ Jesus. And so a great representation is implied. We need to talk about Him. We need to explain Him. We need to hope in Him. The people around us watch the ambassador. And as you are an ambassador, you and I, then the people need to know that we do not panic, that we don't go crazy, we don't go depressed, we just hope in Christ Jesus. And that alone, in silence, will give a great representation of who we are in Christ Jesus. I tell you, this is implied in the scripture. We forgot about this. We have these sociological studies on psychology and psychiatry and so on, and we get confused. But we believers should not get confused. You are an ambassador, and you need to stand in the proper condition, and the person you need to understand that it is a representation. You young people, when you go to school, you are representing Christ. You know, I went to school, we had no drugs. I studied two careers at the same time, so I had no time for any joke except to play soccer. Because they tell me. But I tell you, the great thing is, whatever you are, remember, you are a representative of Christ. You're an ambassador. Alright? Now, this is so much for the great representation. Also, it is implied in those words of 2 Corinthians 5:20. It is a great office, as mentioned. And it's just to refresh your mind about the word ambassador. Just to refresh your mind. Let me tell you what an ambassador is. The power of an ambassador. An ambassador has no power to make terms with others on his own account. He or she needs to declare what is entrusted to him. He can go and say, all right, I signed the peace with Iran. He can. Whatever the president entrusts him, that's what he's going to do. And when an ambassador makes a deal, actually he didn't. The president of the country that he represents, of the king, have made that deal and made clear to him, this is the way I want to deal with these people. If these come through, you sign it, that's okay. So he has no power of himself. All right? There is nothing you can say of yourself and myself to people with authority because we have no authority. The authority is the person that we represent. And who do we represent? Christ Jesus. So, do you know the things that have been entrusted to you as an ambassador for Christ? Do you know? My time don't allow me to share the 20 that I have here, but I share some of the vital ones for you. We are entrusted with the oracles of God. Move your Bible to Romans chapter 3, please. Verse 1 and 2, page 12:25. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, page 12:25. What advantage then have a Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, cheaply, because that unto them were committed, what? The oracles of God. What was the difference between the Jewish people and the other people in the world? If you read the book of Numbers, the Bible says God chose the worst people in the world to put His name on it. I mean, there was no credit in their mind. There was no credit in their physics. They're all short. They're nothing. The difference is God put the Word of God in their heart and in their hand. The only people in the whole existence of the world, from the time that we know it, the only people that were entrusted with the Word of God were the Jewish people. You said, well, Pastor, we are no Jew. Yes, we are. Move your Bible to the right, in Galatians, please, in chapter 3 with me, verse 29, page 1269. Galatians chapter 3 with me, and look in verse 29. If you are a Christian, you are a Jew spiritually. In Galatians 3:29, we read, and if ye be Christ, in other words, if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This letter was written to the Galatian people. This letter was written to Gentiles. And God is saying to the Gentiles, if you really are a Christian, you are spiritually a Jew. And to you, God has entrusted the Word of God. I wonder how many minutes, I don't dare to ask hours, but how many minutes do we read in a day? This is your constitution, people. This is your constitution. Have you read? I carry the Constitution of the United States of America, a very tiny little book, in my pocket all the time, and from time to time I read it to see my rights. All right? And if policemen stop me in a traffic thing, would the policeman behave according to the Constitution? You know? That's important. If he doesn't, then the ticket is over. And I got many tickets over like that. That helps to know the Constitution. Now, here's what it is. We are representing Christ, and we are entrusted with this book, the Bible. Maybe a brother or a sister asks you a question about their personal life, we should be able to say, oh, my darling, here it is. And you look in the Bible, and you show the answer. We are entrusted with the Word of God. This is the most vital document ever existed in the entire world. I remember when I went to seminary in the 60s, some of you were not born, then I said to the dean, what is the most important part of this seminary I want to study? He said, the Bible. Which seminary? So he said, will you offer to me a class in Hebrew and in Greek that I studied for 10 years until I dominated totally and I understand? He said, we will. And I just showed a few minutes ago to Brother Blika, correcting a pile of Hebrew, about 150 Hebrew papers. I still correcting for a primary school of the Bible. And, you know, and I was showing him how people in jail, these are all people in jail. And I read all the jails that came in, I cannot tell you. But I read all the places they come in. And Brother Brick asked me, I can't believe it. The people will study Hebrew. And good, some of them get 100 by the merit, 100 by my grace. But they get 100. They're beautiful. And some of them get rejected. They're not, you have to do it again. I never give it zero. I said, do it again. And you know, it's just fantastic because if you get to know the Bible, you know where you stand. We're entrusted with the oracles of God. We are entrusted also with the task of reconciliation. Let me see. We read it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians 5. That we were there. And look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18 and in verse 19 over there, what Paul says. And all things are of God who have reconciled us to Him by Himself, by Jesus, Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, the word ministry is an old English word. It's the word diakonia, which is the word the service. Our service is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we are not here to argue with you about Christ Jesus. No, no way. We are here to show you Christ Jesus and what Christ Jesus has done. Look at verse 19, same chapter. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, here's the key, the word, rhema, the written word of reconciliation. And the only written word of reconciliation is this one, is the Bible. And so what we do in our life, when we find people that do not know God, never argue with them. We are not to argue. We are to say, you know, if you really know God, you will know that God has made a breach. And that God has provided in that breach you to be in peace with God. Because if you die without have peace with God, you end up in hell. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. Now, you have to say it because, see, if you are crossing a bridge and the bridge is broken in the middle and you don't know, I will have a red flag right there showing to you, please don't go, don't go, don't go. And some people will go and end up. That's the ministry of reconciliation. You tell people there is peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fool around. Read it until God clicked the light in your head and say, that's it. Don't try to give money to the church. Don't try to do good work. Don't try to donate, you know, philanthropy. That is hell, philanthropy. Because the people do that to show first who they are, and secondly, to do something good. The only good you can do is say, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Then you do good. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:10 that God has prepared works for us so that we do good after. But this is the word of reconciliation. And as a believer, as an ambassador for Christ, don't argue with people. Some will be Catholic, some will be Baptist, some will, who knows, there are 70 Baptist denominations. They are, I don't know how many Presbyterian things. And, you know, don't argue with anybody. Just be sure the person knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, the one who died for their sin. The only person accepted in heaven is Jesus. The fact is, he resurrected. If a person will be accepted, will be resurrected. But the only one is Jesus. The Bible said he's a high priest. Don't get a high priest, the Pope, and this and the other. Just get Jesus. So we bring the word of reconciliation. You need to be reconciled, not to Pastor Otero, not to Bethel Baptist. You need to be reconciled with God. And you and I are a representative of Christ in that way. I don't have the time. I want to get the last point. You read it. I put the outline for you to read the other points. Now there is a great duty involved. There is a great duty. I remember my class as an ambassador. One of the ambassadors was the one who was sent to Germany. And you know, Argentina and Germany, they're just one. The one who was sent to Germany said, doesn't matter how much you love Germany, you need to represent your country and fight for your country all the way. Now, there is a duty involved. Who do you please as an ambassador? The president or the king of your nation, period. The president of the king of your nation, period. Blind. So we need to please somebody as an ambassador, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, page 1286. We need to please God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 4. Look at what the scripture said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God with pride our heart. Do you see it? That was our motto in our seminary. We don't please anybody, we please God. And when we talk, we need to please God. Don't tell a lie about God, tell the truth about God. And the only way to tell the truth is when you read this book called the Bible. to them. So we must please God the Father with the message. We must please Jesus with our walk of life. Have you seen this verse almost at the end of your Bible in 1 John chapter 2, page 1328. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. We please God with a message as an ambassador. We just teach the oracles of God. Then we please Jesus with our life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, page 1328. He that said he abideth in him, or he is in Christ, of himself also, what? To walk even as he is Jesus, walk. Is that a scary verse of the Bible? When a husband answered to his wife, he needs to answer to his wife as Jesus answered to his wife. When a wife pleases the husband, has to please the husband as she will please the Lord Jesus. And that's the holy story. We live our life walking like Jesus was walking. That make us scared. I hope so. Whatever I said, whatever I do, the way I dress, very important. Young ladies, the way you dress, you're representing Jesus. If you dress in an unfitting manner, you are not representing Jesus. That's very important. That solves the problem. It's not one man cares, somebody told me, well, after 18, kids can do what they want. Really don't. You do what God wants. And God has patterns for life, not just as he was dead. We must please Jesus with our walk of life. We must please the Holy Spirit with our will. Look in Ephesians. If you ever have a chance in your life, read Ephesians. It's going to help you. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Look at what the Bible says. That also is a verse of the security of salvation, but I want to use it in a different way. Look at what the Bible says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I like that word grieve. That word grieve means you cannot kick off the Holy Spirit out of your life. You know when you have Coca-Cola bottles or the others and you want to save it, what do? You put it on the floor and you smash it down. The Coca-Cola bottle is still there, but it's only smash. That is the Greek word. Do not smash the Holy Spirit in your corner of your life. Do not grieve them. And if you read the chapter, it's concerning sin. Do not sin, because when you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and then you have no power to God. So, you are entrusted. You need to please. You need to please the Holy Spirit with your life, with your will. You need to do what God said, even if God says it and you do not really agree. Wife, submit to your husband. Pastor, is that the word? You know, why people try? I go to the dictionary and find out what the word submit is. But I never get so many questions about it. You are not submitting to your husband, you are submitting to Christ. Children, Ephesians 6:1. Children, atos unto kamanet. Children, obey your parents. You know the questions I got? I got questions like this. Do I have to obey my parents all the time, even when they are wrong? The Bible says, obey your parents. That's what God said. And you are pleasing not your parents, you are pleasing God. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And, look at this one, gave himself for her. When you are planning to go to golf and she said, there is a vacuum. How many times I grab the vacuum rather than going in horse? All right? This is what it is. It's a tough life to be a Christian. But it's a great responsibility and a great testimony to be a Christian. Now, I'm going to put the conclusion on this. Now remember, it's a great representation. It's not your church. It's not your country. It's Christ. It's a great office. You are Christ walking. scary. And then there is a great duty. Remember, you are not to please yourself. I will do this in my way. Take that word "my way" away from you, will you? It is no longer my way. It's God's way. And now the great conclusion. I was taught in the class how to stand before a president. I walked in the president's office many times. How to stand with the class. How to take the credentials with the right hand. The left hand right there on your legs. How to show like this and present it to the president of the next country. Usually it's in a red room. I did that for Family Radio in Colombia. From President Bentancur. I never forgot. He is 85, 86. When President Bentancur was there, I was sent to the president and I represent him. So he was a Christian in Colombia, married to an American lady. And I threw the credentials upon the radio just like an ambassador. Oh, the Lord has God given me great, great times. But what are the credentials of an ambassador? The letters from his country presenting his position. You cannot walk in a place and say, "I'm an ambassador." I do. When I go to the hospital, I said, they don't know me. I said, "I'm an ambassador." They said, "What are you going to see?" "I'm an ambassador." And they look to whom? So Christ Jesus. I represent the Tel Baptist Church. Usually they call it psychology right away. But you know what I mean? You are an ambassador. Now, Paul, genius as he was, doctor in philosophy as he was, doctor in letters of the Hebrew as he was, can you believe it? The church of Corinth, there were two charges on him. One, you are too short. They don't like him. He was a little ugly, short, they said. And then they asked him, where are your letters? Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at the hard time the church gave to Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Look at it. Verse 1 said, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or we need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you?" See, they want to say, "Paul, what do you study? What are your credentials? What is your diploma? Where do you get your seminary title? Who are you?" And in other words, what are your credentials? Show us the picture of your ordination. And Paul did. Look at verse 3. Verse 2, excuse me. Ye are our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men. Beloved, that's the credential of an ambassador in Christ. You have someone that you led to the Lord because of your life, because of your word. There is somewhere, somehow in your life, somebody that knows you. And because they know you, they want to have what you have. That is the best credential. I know people that have become saved because of what I preach or because of what I wrote. But what I like it is when people come to me and say, "You know, I've checking you for years. You really have a different stuff. You have made a different stuff." I tell you, one of the worst things to do is to go in professional life in sports. Money flows so much, and I was 18, 19, 20. Money flows so much, you don't know what to do. I have a strong mother, a strong Italian mother. They take the money away from me so that I don't go crazy. But what do you do when you are away, 7, 9, 10 hours away from your country, in a foreign country, you win, and so on, you're so happy, the coach feels it's going to bring girls into the locker room so that you have a party. Very common. And by the mercy of God, I refused it. By the mercy of God. And the coach thought I was sick, so he called my father and said, "We need to put your son to a doctor because he may be sick about it. I've been all these gorgeous blonde girls from Scotia, and he don't touch them. Something is wrong about them." Till 30 years later, when I returned to Argentina on my first trip, after 9 years in absence. The goalie that went after me, Abraham, great guy, he had me in the airport and he said, now we understand you. I became a believer. Now, that is the best compliment I received in my entire life. Somebody who watched me for years, for 8 years playing soccer, in and out, in and out, in and out, in the stadium. And somebody who was in my neighborhood. Somebody who played. He was in the second division, I was in the first. And then he took over when I left. My brother followed him up. And the day, 9 years after, in 1974, when I arrived to Argentina, he hacked me in the airport. I want to tell you something. I cannot hold it anymore. Thank you for your life. So now I understand it. Your brother brought me to Christ. I want to tell you, there is nothing more greater. Mothers and fathers, that your children can say, I don't know if I understand the gospel, but my mother and my father, they really love the Lord. I want their life. What a challenge for us, Father, going to be an ambassador in our home. May God give us grace to stand as ambassadors in this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you have given us this responsibility. Thank you, Father, that you have moved us from children who were lost to children now that represent the kingdom of God. Lord, we get so busy in this world that we forgot the most important part of our life. We are ambassadors of your kingdom. Father, move us back. Help us. Cause us to be a good representative of who you are. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Oh,
Father, we have heard your word, who plays a great responsibility in each one of us, in the way we talk, in the way we walk, in the way that we have to sometimes modify certain things that we do, and we know these things, but the world has been too much around us, like Matthew 13 says, the seeds of the word are, the world are so much around us, that we forgot these basic principles of who we are. Lord, thank you that we all are ambassadors for you if we trust the Lord Jesus for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that there is no distinguish in your Bible. Whether we are black, white, yellow, green, whatever color of the skin is, if we know Christ, we are ambassadors. Whatever race we belong to, Lord, if we know Christ, we are ambassadors. Lord, move us in such a way that the people around us may know this in a quiet way, in a dignified manner, they will notice that we belong to you. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving for the office. Amen.